Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One very common way that people express comfort and support for a loved one or a friend is by holding their hand. Whether it's a couple who is dating, or a parent and their child, or a relative or a friend of someone who is sick or recovering from surgery in the hospital, holding hands is a meaningful way to express care and concern and support. And it conveys a meaningful relationship between those two people. The bond that is expressed by holding hands can be a useful picture for the relationship between God and his people, similar to what we see in our gospel reading for today. However, much more than merely holding hands, our connection with Jesus is our lifeline. United with our Lord through faith in the good news of his love for us, we have God's life flowing through us and producing Christ-like love and kindness, mercy, peace, thankfulness, joy, and other good qualities within us. Jesus desires this union with us, and he lives within us. For that reason, he has cleansed us, and he continues to train us and strengthen us so that we might be more effective in his service. We, the Lord's people, are united with him, just as a branch is united to the trunk of the vine. We are nourished and sustained by God's love and grace, just as every part of our bodies is nourished by the nutrients that are carried through our blood, just as every branch of a plant is nourished by the sap or the juice that flows to the ends of each twig of that plant. And as we know, any branch that is cut off from the stem and is thrown away soon dies. It withers, dries up, falls off, and the leaves are crumpled and blown away in the wind. So also, people who are no longer joined to Christ in faith lose that contact with the living God who provides meaning and joy for our lives. Perhaps one of the most meaningful phrases in the Bible that's also very easy to overlook is the phrase, in Christ. This short phrase is found many times throughout the New Testament. It describes our current situations as Christians. We live in Christ. That relationship of being in Christ is behind this picture that Jesus uses today in our gospel reading. We are branches of the vine. Jesus does not say that we need to strive to become branches. He says that we are branches. I am the vine. You are the branches. This is the most wonderful truth that we will ever learn. This is the good news that God has come in the person of Jesus and has redeemed us through his sacrificial death and through his glorious resurrection from the dead. The benefits of Jesus' death and resurrection are ours, given and received through the word of God and through his sacraments. The Apostle Paul says about this relationship in Romans chapter 6, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into his death, so that just as he was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too would also walk in a new life." Through the means of grace, through the water and the word of baptism, God has brought us into his kingdom, into his family. He has made us members of his own body, the church. We have been incorporated into him. We are joined to him in the closest possible relationship. It is a communion in which he lives in us and we live in him. Jesus describes that relationship with a picture of the vine and the branches. As integrally connected as the branch is to the vine, so we are connected vitally with our Lord. The Apostle Paul uses a very similar picture in his letter to the Christians of Rome when he compares Gentile Christians to branches that have been grafted into the main trunk of a tree. The underlying truth of that passage also applies to us. Through no effort or merit of our own, we are now in Christ. We have been joined to him and made a part of his kingdom. By saying, "I am the vine, you are the branches," Jesus emphasizes the reality of this relationship between us and him. He doesn't say this is an ideal that needs to be achieved by our own effort. It's not something that might happen someday in the future, but Jesus declares this as something that is right now. He assures us, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." This relationship continues through faith. The Apostle John wrote in his gospel, "In order that we would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing we would have life in his name." The faith that lives within our hearts is what connects us to Jesus. When we trust in God's promises, we are joined to Jesus and we enjoy that communion with him. The way to life is open for us, and that life flows from him to us. It is God who made this connection. God created that faith within our hearts. In Luther's explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed, which we will recite later in our worship service today, Luther gives a helpful summary of what the Bible teaches about how we are brought to faith in Jesus. He said, "I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith." And as the Holy Spirit has created the faith by which we live in Christ, so he also nourishes and sustains it. The Apostle Paul calls the gospel the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed by faith for faith. Daily, through faith, we reclaim the promises of God that he has given us through baptism, and we are renewed and strengthened in those promises. Often in our worship service, we come to the Lord's table where we are strengthened by his true body and blood. And so, nourished in this way, we draw on that strength and power, that life that Jesus speaks about when he declares in our reading, "Remain in me, and I am going to remain in you." A branch cannot bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Likewise, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. When a branch is severed or broken off and deprived of that nourishment that comes from the stem, it withers and dies. Its connection with its supporting stem is necessary for it to continue to live. Jesus refers to this truth from nature in order to point us to another truth, an all-important truth for us as Christians. If we are severed from Christ, if we no longer cling in faith to him as our Lord and Savior, then we also die too, spiritually. Faith, we know, cannot be seen with the eye. Neither can the power of God that flows through the means of grace be seen with our eyes. These realities are not apparent to physical sight, but only to faith. And just as faith itself might not be detected by visual observation, so also the loss of faith might not be apparent to our human observation. It's possible for someone to appear to remain a faithful Christian while within their hearts that faith has actually died and now only a shell of it remains. Such a person is like a dried and withered flower that once pulsed with life but is now dead and lifeless. The external appearance of the flower only gives the impression of life when in fact there is no more life-giving connection from the plant. And so Jesus admonishes us, exhorts us to remain in him as a living branch continues to draw its nourishment from its supporting stem. We do, sadly, have the power to sever that connection with Christ. We can actively resist the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, deliberately slamming shut the door to our hearts to shut him out. And we are also able to allow that door of our hearts to slowly, gradually swing shut through neglect. Jesus warns us, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." And he also tells us, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." A living faith is just like our living body. It requires nourishment. That is why our regular and frequent use of the means of grace is so vital for us. That reality is behind our concern when we see a fellow Christian who remains absent from God's house, who fails to hear God's word and to draw on that life-giving power of the gospel. That's why we are so eager to enroll our children in Sunday school and to enroll their parents in Bible class. That's why we urge families to spend time together at home around God's word. That's why we encourage everyone to continue in daily meditative reading of the Bible. These are the means by which our faith is nourished, keeping it alive and strong. This is how we remain in Christ. That is why the Lord Jesus urges us to do these things with a picture of the vine and the branches that he uses in our reading today. Severed from that vine, the branch withers and dies. Severed from Christ, we die. But abiding in Christ, remaining in him, we live, and we live productively. Abiding in Christ, we glorify and honor God. As a garden and orchard that produce vegetables and fruit that nourish and delight us, so also Christians live productively. Branches separated from their supporting stem produce no fruit. That's very obvious to us from the plant world. But it doesn't always seem so obvious to us when we think about our relationship with God. Living a good, God-pleasing life in our own, on our own with minimal help and support from him often seems to us to be a distinct possibility. But the truth is, no faith, no fruit. Apart from Christ, we cannot please God. Our every effort apart from him remains shot through with sin, like fruit that rots on the tree before it is even ripened. But in Christ, connected to him, abiding in him, we can say and do and think things that delight and please God. The branch growing from the vine produces rich fruit. Even a amateur backyard farmer knows that plants yield more fruit when they are tended carefully and pruned. Tomato growers will carefully watch the growing plants for unproductive branches, and then they will prune off those branches so that the nutrients from the plant may be channeled more effectively toward the production of fruit. Jesus speaks in our reading for today of God the Father as a gardener who carefully tends and cultivates us, his people. As a result, we are more productive of those qualities that God nurtures within his people. Knowing this often explains the experiences that are very common among God's people. The Apostle Peter wrote to Christians who experience frequent persecution because of their faith. He reminds them of how God has redeemed them through Jesus. And then he writes this word of encouragement to them. "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. While we today in the United States might not have to endure very much in the way of persecution, nevertheless, life seems to throw plenty at us that God uses to polish and refine our faith, to make it shine and to make it productive. Those things that God allows to happen in our lives prune back those habits and attitudes in us that are unproductive of God-pleasing virtue. When we are called to suffer some hardship or burden that comes through no fault of our own, we should not complain that God is not paying much attention to us and not caring for us. We should not complain that his love is not as warm or evident as we would like. Instead, we should recognize that the Father is acting as a gardener who tends and digs and nurtures that plant to stimulate growth and to stimulate a better yield of a pure faith. And so we say with the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 5, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. May the Lord make each one of us into a flourishing, productive branch through whom he works and in